Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And what a week, huh? We're learning about this country that chains people to walls for days and weeks at a time to get information, locks them away on islands for years, sometimes with no charges, tortures them to the point of death or near death, sadistic stories of painful physical abuse, forced penetration of body orifices, a country that seems to care little, if any, about the quality of information that's coming out of these unfortunate detainees. That country is not some tribal fiefdom from the Middle Ages run by a Genghis Khan. It is, we're led to believe, the United States in the 21st century. We begin this hour with the charges, the hand-wringing, the outrage, the shame, the alleged barbarity laid out in the Senate Intelligence Committee's official report on the CIA's use of torture, a summary of which was made public yesterday. Amidst all the adjectives, is there a window of reality? How can we even know? Part of the report details how the CIA engaged in a pattern of deceiving its own government, lying to the White House and Congress about the number of black site secret prisons, lying about the quality of the intelligence derived from torture, lying about the level of violence inflicted on detainees, and the big lie that enhanced interrogation techniques, you'll recall that euphemism for torture, led to the killing of Osama bin Laden, a lie that has already been made into a Hollywood movie, by the way, Zero Dark Thirty. How did we get here? Robert Baer is a former CIA operative based in the Middle East and author of the book The Perfect Kill, 21 Laws for Assassins. Bob Baer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is retired Brigadier General David Irvine, who spent 18 years with the 6th U.S. Army Intelligence School teaching prisoner of war interrogation techniques and military law. General, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Let me begin with you, General. What surprised you most here? What outraged you most? What do you think Americans should focus most closely on in this Senate report?
Well, I think the most shocking thing about that report is that it was describing acts and conduct by officers and agents of the United States of America. And secondly, that all of this was launched on the orders of the President and Vice President of the United States.
And even though they didn't know particularly the details, they basically created the culture that produced these abuses. Where did they get the actual torturers, based on your reading of the report? Any idea here, General?
This is one of the really curious aspects of the whole program. It was evidently promoted and sold to the CIA by two psychologists who had no experience as interrogators, who had never interrogated anyone, who had no experience with Middle Eastern culture or Muslim culture, who had no experience with law enforcement, and who evidently were completely uninformed about the history of interrogation in the United States as far as the FBI is concerned, as far as the Defense Department is concerned, who had no understanding of the prohibitions on torture that are a part of federal and international law. It is just astounding that these two men influenced an entire intelligence agency to abandon the practices that had been so successful for years and years and years.
And let's remind you who's speaking right there. That's retired Brigadier General David Irvine, 18 years with the 6th U.S. Army Intelligence School, teaching prisoner of war interrogation techniques and military law. Okay, so Bob Baer, it sounds like what the general is saying here and what the report outlines is that Bush and Cheney at some point basically put an ad in the paper saying wanted inexperienced psychologists to freak out bad people in the Middle East, willing to inflict pain, please apply.
General Irvine is 100% right on this. And I wouldn't put the blame doorstep of the White House, but I would the Central Intelligence Agency, who at that point had no experienced interrogators. It's something it had never done over the years, or at least not since Vietnam. and they go out and they outsource it to Mitchell and Jessen, two people who have no experience in anything. They'd seen a couple SEER manuals. That's what the SEALs use to train their own people. But what they didn't know, the SEER training wasn't for interrogation. It was simply to demonstrate to SEALs what it's like to be waterboarded and what they could face if they were captured. And it wasn't a way to extract information from enemy prisoners. Not only that, and this is sort of an aside, but I just find it completely offensive that they turned this into a business. They made $81 million out of this for doing something they had no idea what they were doing. On top of it, the CIA people assigned to interrogations were the lower 10%. They had all sorts of issues. They shouldn't have been in the field. In Afghanistan, when a young officer murdered a detainee, died of hypothermia, he was left out in the cold, he was awarded a money award. And not only that, this isn't a story, it hasn't been reported, but the chief of station in Kabul, a man I know, was given the Near East Division as a promotion, you know, after this man was murdered. So there was absolutely no accountability. And on top of it, it's very clear to me they were lying both to the administration and to the press. There's a journalist that wrote a book about this, a guy named Kessler, saying how effective this was. And even a reporter at the New York Times was fed this stuff that we were getting great information. So it was an effort to mislead the American public and not just Congress and the White House. I just think this is awful. And I just don't see how we can let this go. This is as bad as Watergate.
Remind us of those names you use, these psychologists who allegedly made $81 million.
This is Jessen and Mitchell, retired military, but they had not been in interrogations. And they simply took SEER manuals from the Navy without really looking at them and applied those techniques to hostile interrogations, then almost killed a couple of these people and did it repeatedly without letting people up the line know.
So how do both of you respond then to, bad stuff, but there have been no attacks? And, okay, maybe they were wrong about what led to killing Osama bin Laden. But, you know, I'd certainly rather have this situation than a bunch of, you know, bombed out Mall of Americas around the United States if we'd let up and been a good guy like we usually are here. That's some of the comments that have come out even from former CIA officials who are responding to this report. General?
Well, I think those who are still claiming that the CIA interrogation program saved lives and produced all of these successes, at this point, after the revelations in the Senate committee report, really are under an obligation to show us the money. They have never done that. And there have been all of these claims that, well, if you only knew what we know, you would understand that this was very effective, that thousands of lives were saved. That's not the conclusion the Senate committee reached after 5 years. And at this point, for anyone to claim that there's still something out there that hasn't been revealed, that if we only could share with them or share with you, you'd understand all of this, I think that's just a false argument.
Bob Baer, what's your assessment of that?
Let me put it nicely. They're lying. There was no evidence, none that anybody's seen. I'm absolutely sure it would have leaked out that one of these interrogations saved lives and sort of like a 24 a ticking bomb scenario. It just hasn't happened. And if a prisoner comes up with a little bit of information, they are showcasing that and saying, look, it works. But in fact, there has never been a case. And Congress, as you know, can't keep its mouth shut. And somebody would have said something by now. So, you know, I don't buy it at all. I've seen this in my career in the CIA, reclaiming we know something, and it turns out to be less than meets the eye.
General, what do you know, if anything, about individuals who may have stood up and said, I'm not going to do this. I don't care what happens to my career. I'm not going to go down this road with these psychologists and whoever else they found to do some of these things that Bob Baer describes.
I can't speak for anyone who is associated with the CIA. I'm sure there are officers and men and women who serve the agency who have that kind of indignation and who took those kinds of positions, but I'm not aware of them. I will say that there are others who stood up to the proponents of these techniques and who were incensed and who did lay their careers on the line. And one of those was Alberto Moro, who was the general counsel for the Department of the Navy, who took on Secretary Rumsfeld and who fought that program with everything that he had. And anyone who might be opposed to that program was frozen out of the discussions and was denied an opportunity to remind those who were promoting it that they were heading down a path that was not only illegal and immoral, but was also without any record of effectiveness that would warrant its adoption.
Finally, to both of you, what do you make of the suggestion by some human rights organizations that, you know, admitting a mistake is not enough, that what the United States needs to do to be accountable to the world is basically initiate some sort of Nuremberg-like process, and that this needs to be adjudicated in an international criminal court of some kind, and that detainees like the Jose Padillas of the world need to be represented as a human rights crime, war crime tribunal, and that that's really the only way to achieve accountability here. Bob?
Well, I don't see how we can go out in the world now and in any way condemn other countries for doing the same thing we're doing. How can we avoid this? How can we go to Iran and say you have to stop torturing people, you know, internal political prisoners? What's the difference? That's going to be a difficult road to go down, and I doubt we are, but it's a legitimate demand.
General Irvine, are we in the Radovan Karadzic Club all of a sudden?
I think we're getting awfully close.
Retired Brigadier General David Irvine spent 18 years with the 6th U.S. Army Intelligence School teaching prisoner of war interrogation techniques and military law. Robert Baer is a former CIA operative based in the Middle East, author of the book The Perfect Kill, 21 Laws for Assassins. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
But Tony, writing to us on Facebook, says, contrary to all the outrage, the U.S. wins no global contests in barbarity. When I was in the service, Tony says, I saw firsthand what those terrorist animals did to our guys with their IEDs, suicide bombings, etc. Oh, what about all our fellow countrymen and women lost on 9/11? To hell with a lot of you and with all this other crap about how those terrorist animals were mistreated.
Hi, my name is Barbara. I'm calling from Carmel, New York. I really think that something should just be kept in our country. We were attacked. We're constantly under attack. Some measures have to be extreme. Look at all of the people that are being killed.
Hello, this is Jean. I'm calling from San Francisco. This whole thing just reminds me of the old Pogo quote. We have met the enemy, and he is us.
Okay, thanks, Jean, for calling 8778-MY-TAKE. So what do we do now?
My name is Michelle. I'm calling from St. Paul, Minnesota, and I am concerned that national security comes at the price of a lack of accountability. I just think that accountability is as important as security, and it's a part of security.
You can join the conversation. Find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway, or do what Michelle did. Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE.